Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for this space and for all the people that are here this morning. I think we probably all came for different reasons, but I'm glad that you encouraged each one of us to be here. I ask for your Holy Spirit to help us to hear from you more than me this morning. Help us to hear you speak to us. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the immortal words of the artist Pink, if God is a DJ, life is a dance floor, love is the rhythm, you are the music. What does that even mean? I have no idea, but I do like the idea of God as a DJ with turntables in front of him playing the songs of our lives. God is spinning records. But sometimes, as we see today, God likes to interrupt the music with a well-placed record scratch. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about when I talk about a record scratch? Anybody want to do their impersonation of a record scratch? I'm not doing it. Think about a 1980s movie trailer. In a world filled with ancient gods, warlords, and kings, a land in turmoil cried out for a hero. He was Jesus, a lowly carpenter from the backwoods of Judea. That's where the record scratch would happen, because that's not what you're expecting. Can you picture it? The record scratch. Record scratches have been used in TV for the past several decades to let us know that, uh-oh, a plot twist has entered the chat. The plot is moving at a predictable pace toward a foregone conclusion when suddenly something shocking happens, disrupting the action and going off somewhere totally unexpected. This is Mary's story, the record scratch that still echoes down through history. Let's read together from Luke 1, 26 through 40. When Mary's life was interrupted by a divine record scratch. Luke 1, 26 through 40. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the servant, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Mary's life was interrupted. Mary's life was interrupted. When I think about Elizabeth's story, this baby that came to her late in life, it was a blessing and a gift, an unexpected turn of events, yes, but not exactly an interruption in the way that it was for Mary. Mary's life had a course already set. The news of this birth was a surprise. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you," said the angel to Mary. Perhaps she thought to say, "and also with you." Thank you, Adam. "Don't be afraid," said the angel. "I've got big news for you. You're going to have a son. Name him Jesus," which in Hebrew means "the Lord saves." "He will be a king like David, who will rule over God's people forever." "How?" she asks. "The same Holy Spirit that brought life and light out of darkness in Genesis chapter 1 is going to generate life inside your womb. God is about to bind God's self to humanity through the conception and the birth of the Messiah." Mary goes in this moment, Mary goes from some backwoods, no-name girl to the future mother of the king. "I'm here for a reason," she thinks. This is such a surprise and such a reversal of fortunes. It wasn't her plan. It was as though God had said, "and now for something completely different." She could have never anticipated that this would be her fate. Suddenly, in an instant, her future has utterly changed. How does Mary respond to this interruption? It reminds me of an old skit on a show called In Living Color, where a blues singer named Calhoun Tubbs is sitting on a park bench with his guitar. Invariably, he always ends up saying, "wrote a song about it, like to hear it, here it goes." And then he starts singing. That's what Mary does in this moment. "I wrote a song about it, like to hear it, here it goes." This is what she says. "My soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her, meaning Elizabeth, about 3 months, and then returned to her home. It just occurred to me, actually, as Danielle was reading that, that since Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house when she was 6 months along in her pregnancy, and then stayed for another 3-ish months, she may have been there for the birth of John. This promise come to life right there in front of her. I'd never thought about that before. So Mary sings a song in response to this record scratch in her life. She's like, "I'm going to sing my own tune then," about how this is a reversal of her own social status and how that points to a greater upheaval that is to come in the world. Through her son, God's going to bring down rulers from their thrones, exalt the poor and the humble. He's going to turn the whole world order upside down. The experience of this divine intervention in her own life points to the bigger picture of God's activity in the world. I feel like that's been a refrain in these last couple of sermons, that this little thing that's happening in my life is pointing to this larger thing that God is doing in the whole world. That continues to be true. Mary's life experienced this divine interruption, and she embraced it. Her story may seem dramatic to you, far-fetched even. And clearly, Mary was put here for a reason. But the miracle of this story is that little Mary, little nobody Mary, in the great humility of her lot in life, played a central part in the greatest story ever told. I'm not saying that you are Mary. that we're going to suddenly have a bunch of virgin births breaking out among our people. But what I am saying is that your little life is pregnant with possibility too. Your little life is pregnant with possibility too. And that's really the crux of what I have to say today. It's that simple, that short. God is capable of interrupting your life. Are you listening for that record scratch? Are you ready to respond with your own song? I want to finish by reading you a story. It's by the same author who wrote On the Night You Were Born, for those of you who read that. It's called You're Here for a Reason by Nancy Tillman. Ready for story time? You're here for a reason, you certainly are. The world would be different without you, by far. If not for your hands and your eyes and your feet, the world, like a puzzle, would be incomplete. It's a little boy holding a kite, petting an elephant. Normal things. Even the smallest of things that you do blossom and multiply far beyond you. He's helping the elephant cross the road. A kindness, for instance, may triple for days or set things in motion in different ways. The elephant is giving the goose some flowers. It travels much further than you'll ever know, under the treetops. Over the snow. Till it's wandered. And fluttered. And floated. And twirled, making things happen all over the world. It's a little more challenging than I thought it was going to be. You're here for a reason. It's totally true. You're part of a world that is counting on you. So don't be too worried if some days fall flat. Good things can happen, even from that. Life can be tricky, there isn't a doubt. You'll skin your knees trying to figure it out. But life works together, the good and the bad, the silly and awful and happy and sad, to paint a big picture we can't always see. A picture that needs you, most definitely. He's pushing a giraffe up a hill here. You're here for a reason. If you think you're not, I would just say that perhaps you forgot. A piece of the world that is precious and dear would surely be missing if you weren't here. If not for your smile and your laugh and your heart, this place we call home would be minus a part. Thank goodness you're here. Thank goodness times two. I just can't imagine a world without you. It's little puzzle pieces. Mary's life experienced a divine interruption, and she embraced it. Mary's story may seem dramatic, far-fetched, clearly Mary was put here for a reason, but the miracle is you were too. God made you on purpose. God has divine intentions with your life, which is pregnant with possibility. Let's pray.